What are the qualities of a good neighborhood? Do we measure community health by income level and property value? Or is there an alternative to the old mentality of the plantation and colonialism? I'm Rosalie Harden, executive producer of Faith and Finance. Welcome to the podcast of our virtual event, Neighborhood Economics, Healing Our Communities, which was held in November of 2020. Economies of interdependence are emerging all around us, and neighborhood economics brought together entrepreneurs, change makers, developers, storytellers, pastors, and impact investors to share where their communities are finding hope and a way forward. In this episode, hear the closing remarks for Neighborhood Economics featuring Peter Block. Peter has been working with us since 2014 when he and his dear friend Walter Brueggemann came to speak at the very first Neighborhood Economics Gathering in Louisville, Kentucky. Many of you know Peter from his groundbreaking work in management consulting and community development. He's a guru to all of us who are working on building faith foundations for more just and faithful community development. These remarks were given as a part of Neighborhood Economics, Healing Our Communities, a virtual conference that was produced by Faith and Finance in November of 2020. The full hour-long plenary is available for purchase at faithfinance.net. There you can also find video and podcast episodes of the other sessions that were a part of the conference.
Well, it's an honor to be here. I've been listening to what people have been saying, and it's stunning, the conversations you've been having. The knowledge, the depth, the commitment, the on-the-ground life. I know Sidel, I heard her say, we're at the intersection of race and greed. That's a beautiful way to say it. And so I'm just happy to be included here. You know, what changes the world is changing the narrative. That's what you're doing. There's all kinds of programs in the world. There's all kinds of conferences in the world, but what you've created here is a shift in narrative is what we're looking for. And I love the fact that finance and faith have met each other, because in the faith world, it's hard to talk about money. In the money world, development world, you don't want to talk about faith unless it's faith in John Locke. And as Dr. Jennings said, the belief that God ordained every acre of land to be productive, otherwise it's wasted. And what he and we are questioning. And to me, we're trying to create a narrative that's an alternative to the current plantation mentality. And I think all the content in the world you have in this conference. The challenge for all of us is, who can we invite into this conversation? Because you've got here enormously committed people that are watching, not just the ones that are speaking. And so that means that we have to bring people together. And the faith community is great at that. What I love about the faith community is it has the right language. It doesn't have to invent a new language. It has to get decided what you're doing here to get interested in money and get interested in land and get interested in debt and housing. And I think that's the real change. And so you might say, well, who do I want to invite into the next conversation in the place where I live? You know, the COVID has kind of made things true, visible that were true. It was called the suburbs. It was called the interstate highway. The interstate highways stuck a knife into most neighborhoods. And the social distancing put the front porch in the backyard and let me get in my house without opening my garage door. I have to click in. And so what we're trying to do something about that. I think also the essence of neighborhood economics is more relevant than ever. One way to continue this is to change the way we measure things. The dominant narrative, the quote, empire narrative, is to measure things according to GDP, GNP. The traditional economist is a scarcity belief system. What Dr. Jennings and Sadell and Diamond and others are arguing for is a abundant notion that we have enough. What's implicated the change in structure is to stop outsourcing what we can create for ourselves. Right now, we think we can get a school to raise our children. We think the police are going to keep us safe. And so we change the nature of our questions. We don't ask people, is this a safe neighborhood? Because if I ask you that, then I've declared you as a dangerous person. I don't ask you, how many years of schooling have you had? Because if I ask you that, I've said you're stupid. I don't ask you what your average annual income is, because that's not the measure of a person. And so we're kind of trying to change. That's a narrative change. So we have a measurement device that says, what are you good at? What do you love to do? What are you willing to teach other people? These are the measures of a neighborhood. And according to these measures, what we used to call low-income neighborhoods do fine. They have enormous capacity, enormous skills. It's just that the plantation mentality says, let's call these neighborhoods broken. If I call you poor, I've declared you broken. I don't use the word poor except when I make sentences like this. And so it's really a shift in how we think about each other. And that's what you all are saying. That's what the church can do. It can be an enormous convening agent. And its goal is not to bring people to Christ or to Abraham. It's the goal is to use its local presence as a gathering place. And now what you're saying is let's make it an economic gathering place. And let's find out what people are good at. Let's look at the land. Right now, we devalue the land in low-income neighborhoods for one reason. So the real estate cartel can make future profits from this land. Police are sent in to the West End in Cincinnati to give out citations, even people sitting on their own front porch, so they can spread the story that this is a broken neighborhood and we need to scrape and start again. And so displacement to me is what you're really talking about, an alternative to. And I think, you know, all that's powerful stuff. We changed the story that like there's no such thing as a homeless person. I don't show up and say I'm Peter and I'm housed. And so you're really talking about citizens. You're talking about children of God. You're talking about retelling the story of America. Dr. Jennings said, you know, when the pilgrims and the settlers came over, the idea that Columbus discovered America, really. And so most of that's about commerce. Most of that was about owning the land. And so there's all kinds of efforts now to create common land ownership, to take land off the speculative market. So land is valuable, even if it's not built on. And so it's a really rewriting of a whole economic story is what you're doing. And you have the tools to do that. And now we need to invite people into the conversation about what's the alternative. Because the tendency is to study things. Cincinnati's done 12 studies on racism in the last 16 years. And every study showed the same thing. It's a racist community. And so to me, doing a study is a defense against transformation. It's a defense against a new narrative. It's a defense against faith, becoming friends with finance. And the faith community has assets. You know, endowments are fascinating. And most churches that have large endowments select trustees whose job is to make sure the endowment doesn't shrink. And so what you're talking about is sunset funding, sunset foundations, sunset endowments where we want to spend the money in hard times instead of going with the minimum 5%. And the other, and to me, these are the elements of a different structure that Dr. Jennings and Sadell and Diamond and others are talking about. Let the land be, stop measuring according to average income and GNP and GDP. Those are just made up for globalization. We want common ownership of the land to create equity. The racial tension is that we don't own enough, blacks don't own enough land. You're talking about creating a black economy and get off the notion that, that people need more schooling, they need more police protection. The neighborhood and family raise a child. School can't raise a child, especially black kids. They don't do well in school. 16 so-called failing schools in Cincinnati are all predicted by the economic level of their parents. It's not a problem in leadership, a problem in teaching. And so I think you're going after the heart of what's going to make a difference in the racial inequity. When you talk about racial equity, if you don't have the word equity in there, then you're just stuck with consciousness, which of course you want to change. And so I heard her say that, you know, 75% of Americans don't have a black as a friend. And I think proximity, all these things make total sense. And I think what you're doing is phenomenal. It also has to do with health. People who have good social capital, which just means they trust each other, and they work together to make this place better, they're healthier. Their kids do better in school. So that's what you're building. And social services won't do that. Cincinnati spends $1 million, $1 billion a year in social services. And they're all well-meaning people, but it doesn't change the economic and living conditions of the people they're trying to serve. It just allows them to endure the conditions under which they're living. And so I think you're creating another path outside of the social service world. I think there's policy implications, but we can't wait for mayors and city councils to do anything. So I just am happy to be part of this, happy. And what continues this, and it's slow work, I don't trust speed, I don't trust scale. Those are the value proposition of empire. And the commercial exploitation is that we have to do it fast. We have to do it widespread. I don't trust convenience. You're on an inconvenient path. To me, faith calls for inconvenience. It doesn't call for speed. It doesn't call for scale. It calls for depth, intimacy, connection, and a feeling that nothing I do is bound by my property line. And so it's a convening function. It's a convening agency. And these things make sense to me. But also, the idea of development is exploitative in itself. 1949, Harry Truman declared, since the United States came out well after the war, we were going to help the undeveloped countries of the world. We call them third world countries. A friend of mine, Gustavo Estevez, says, well, when he said that, I didn't know we were, he's a Mexican. He lives in Mexico. He said, I didn't know Mexico was an undeveloped country. I didn't know I was undeveloped. I thought I was Mexican. And so all these constructs of progress, development, speed, scale, convenience, leveraging the land, we can put seven stories on that land. Why only put three? All of those are the tools of the plantation, or the mindset of the plantation and the land in low-income and black neighborhoods. It's just a modern form of plantation, and that's what all of you are coming together to agree on and to find means to do that and the tools to do that. And my last thought is there's a leadership level in our cities that doesn't run institutions. And all the efforts we've had is to get the top people on board. We've had a childhood poverty program with $5 million from leaders and corporations. None of that makes a difference. And so you're looking for leadership as a quality, as the nature of the people that you bring together. And then I don't believe that the institutions, committed as they are to social justice, are really the place where change is going to happen. It's going to come from people like you inviting local people in neighborhoods to come together, asking them, what are you good at? What do you want to do? How do you want to change this place? And then later on, you can bring the social services in. You can bring the, and creating neighborhood-friendly banks and credit unions, all of that is part of the infrastructure But in the end, it's you inviting people together and getting them to connect and trust each other and realize that they have gifts and capacities. This is what Damonis calls himself, a social banker. This is what he's such a genius at. And I'm sure all of you are doing the same thing. I just don't know you as well.
You've been listening to an abridged version of the closing plenary from Neighborhood Economics, Healing Our Community. This episode included some of Peter Block's closing remarks. The full podcast also includes Diamon Harges from Indianapolis and Sadell Bradley of Cincinnati, who both work in churches that are deeply engaged in their communities. Our Neighborhood Economics Conference is fully available in video and podcast formats at community.faithfinance.net. Next up, music by David Benjamin Blower. David was our musical guest artist for Neighborhood Economics. You can find more of his music at davidbenjaminblower.com. I hope you enjoy, and again, thanks for listening.
Sing.